Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Being a Christian is the greatest privilege in the world. Being a Christian is the greatest blessing, the greatest thing in the world. If you're a Christian here this morning, do you know how privileged and how blessed you are? Now, I begin the sermon with those words for two reasons. First of all, the world doesn't agree. The world says being a Christian is bad. Being a Christian will mess up your life. Being a Christian is not a privilege whatsoever. But the second reason is this. Romans 8 shows us that it is. You see, Romans 8 is one of the most faith-building chapters in the whole of the Bible. Romans 8 does to your soul what going to the gym does to your body. It strengthens your faith. It gives you assurance and confidence of God's love for you. It's a great chapter to meditate on and to memorize, because it is a rich and comprehensive portrayal of what it means to be a Christian. In the chapter, we see five great privileges that belong to every Christian. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at each of those privileges. And we're going to do so because I want us as a church to be confident and assured in our faith, so that we can go out and live in the world confident that being a Christian is a real privilege. And I want us to look at it so that if you're here and you're not a Christian, you might see the privileges of a Christian and want to become one. Well, there's five great privileges here in Romans 8 that I want us to look at. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is justified, adopted, redeemed, secure, and loved. Going to look at those over the next few weeks. But first, today, I want us to look at that first one. A Christian is someone who is justified. And what does that mean? How is that possible? And how do you live a justified life? What's it mean? How is it possible? And how do you live a justified life? So first of all, what's it mean? What's it mean to be justified? Well, it means two things. First of all, it means that you are not guilty. First one says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To be condemned means that you have a judgment against you. You are guilty for something that you have done. Now, all of us by nature have a judgment against us because of stuff that we have done, because of our sin. What is sin? And sin is not just doing what you shouldn't and not doing what you should. It is that. It's not just breaking God's law, although it is that. Sin is to focus your life on yourself, to be self-centered, to be self-absorbed. And all of us have a dark mass of self-centeredness deep within us. And so every one of us is guilty before God. Because, and that dark mass of sin leads us to do things we know we shouldn't. It makes us fail to do things we know we should. It makes us do things which we never thought we would do. Things which we're ashamed of. And God says, by nature, you are guilty for that. We all deserve to be judged and condemned. But the good news here in Romans 8 is that if you are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. Condemnation has gone. That word no doesn't just mean there is no condemnation at this moment in time. It means there is no condemnation ever for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is something of the past. Nothing that you do, nothing that you've ever done will ever bring you into judgment. That's what it means. Condemnation has been destroyed for you. Even though you're capable of doing wrong things, even though you do wrong things, even though you mess up in your life, you'll never be condemned for that. God regards you as debt-free, guilt-free. In the courtroom of heaven, before the judge of the universe, you are not guilty. But second, it also means not only that you're not guilty, but that you are righteous. Romans 8, verse 4 picks up on that. So that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. In other words, to be justified doesn't just mean that you're not guilty, but that you are righteous before God. You are accepted by God, the judge of the universe. God looks at you as if you had kept his law perfectly, as if you had lived a blameless life, even though you haven't. Even though you've messed up and sinned. God declares that you are righteous. A friend of mine went to court to give evidence, and the judge was so impressed at his honesty and integrity. And in his report at the end, he mentioned my friend and said, never has there been someone in this courtroom before this bench who is as righteous and honest as this man. Well, that's what God says about you before his bench in heaven. Never before my bench has there been, is there anybody more righteous than you? Even though you're sinful, God declares that you're righteous. You are justified. And that God's declaration of being justified is something that is irreversible, absolute, and comprehensive. You'll never fall away from it. So the question is, how is that possible? How is it possible for you to be justified, for me to be justified? Do you know, that is the most important question I think that it's possible to ask and to get an answer to. How is it possible for God to be just and to justify sinful people like you and me. You know, if a righteous and just judge condemns the wicked, a wicked judge justifies, a bad judge justifies those who are wicked. So how can God, who is just, justify sinful people? He can do it because of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us how it's possible in verse 3. He says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." First of all, he's saying, how can we be just before God? Not by keeping the law. Not by stuff that we do. Now, the law is good, and you should try and keep it. You should try and do good things. It's better to do good things than bad things in your life. It's good to be good. But because of our sin, we cannot keep the law. You can't make yourself, therefore, right with God by keeping the law, because we don't keep it perfectly. And so how can we be righteous before God? Not by keeping the law, but, he says, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. You can't make yourself righteous, but you can get Jesus' righteousness. You can get his perfect life, his obedient death. And that can be counted to you as if you had lived a perfect life. You see, a Christian's righteousness is a passive righteousness. What I mean is, it's not something that you do yourself. It's not something that you achieve yourself. It's something that's given to you by Jesus Christ. You see, it's not dependent on what you do and on your works, but on what Jesus has done and on his works. You see, your works, the good stuff that you do, even your best things, are tainted with sin, and therefore cannot get rid of your massive debt. They simply add to it. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took that debt on himself. It's as if we have racked up thousands and thousands of pounds of debt on a credit card. Jesus Christ comes along with thousands and thousands of pounds of credit on his card and swaps cards. So that on the cross, he takes upon himself all our debt, all our guilt for our debt, and was punished on our behalf so that we can get his righteousness, his credit, his life. And you get that simply by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. That's how you receive that credit. That's how it's put into your account. If you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you are righteous and justified in the sight of God. And so the question this morning for us is this: do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him and what he's done for you on the cross? Do you know what it is to be right with God, accepted by God himself, even though you mess up and make mistakes and sin? Do you know what it is to be righteous before God? If you do know what it is to be righteous before God, if you do know what it is to be justified, then do you know that you can live a justified life, and you should live a justified life? And so the question is, how is that possible? How is it possible to live righteous and justified? How is it possible to live as who I am? In verses 5 to 8, Paul tells us that there's two ways to live your life. And everybody in the world lives in one of these two ways. The first way is to live according to the flesh. The second way is to live according to the Spirit. The first way is to set your mind on the things of the flesh, and the second way is to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. The first way leads to death, Paul says. The second way leads to life and to peace. So what does it mean? What does it mean to live according to the flesh, first of all? Well, when Paul talks about the flesh and living according to the flesh, he's not talking about our physical bodies. The flesh is that part of you that wants to live for yourself, that is self-centered, that is self-absorbed. To live according to the flesh means to live as your own savior, to justify yourself. Now, you can try and do that in two ways. You can try and justify yourself by being bad and by breaking all God's rules, by saying, no one's going to tell me what to do and how to live my life. I'm the boss of my life. I call the shots. Or you can try and justify yourself by keeping all the rules, by being a good person. Aren't I a good person? I have kept all the rules. The problem with both ways of living is that you are seeking to justify yourself because you don't need a savior in either circumstance. I am the boss of my life and I want to live as I please. I'm the boss of my life. I don't need a savior because I'm a good person. But the problem with trying to justify yourself is that the result is death. You will die. You know, we can think that sin doesn't really matter. It doesn't make a difference. The Bible says, yes, it does. It's like having a cancer deep within you that is eating away at you. Your life may look fine now, but it will kill you unless you get rid of it. So what does it mean to live according to the Spirit? How do you live not to justify yourself, but how do you live in the Spirit? How do you live a justified life? Well, Paul says in verse 5, by setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. In other words, what Paul's trying to do is this. He's saying, the way you live is dependent on what you think. Your behavior depends on your outlook. You know, as a person thinks in their heart, that's what they are in their life. Ultimately, our thoughts govern our actions. If you set your mind on the Spirit, then you will have life and peace. And so the question for us this morning is this. How do you set your mind on the Spirit? What does it mean to set your mind on the Spirit? By remembering who you are. Paul says that in verse 9. You, however, he says, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Paul's saying, you are justified before God. Live a justified life. You are right with God. Live as who you are. Don't go back and live as you were trying to justify yourself because you are already justified. What does that mean? Let me give you three ways as we close. First of all, it means you need to remember the words of the great philosopher Elsa from Frozen. She is a great philosopher and has some wonderful words. And what she said is this: the past is in the past. To live a justified life means you need to remember, first of all, that the past is in the past. So often in our lives, we live as we live because we feel guilty for the past. We feel guilty about stuff we've done. We feel guilty about stuff which we've not done, which we should have. We feel guilty about stuff that's happened to us. And we can live our lives out of a sense of guilt, saying, I'm going to be different. I'm going to live better and nicer and gooder in my life. I'm going to make amends. What are you doing? You're trying to justify yourself. And so you need to remember that the past is in the past. Jesus Christ on the cross paid for those sins and that guilt. And you are now free from the past. You are justified. You are righteous before God. But second, you need to remember that there's nothing that you can now do to make God love you more. And there's nothing that you can do to make God love you less. You know, it's possible to live as a Christian with a good day, bad day mentality. And we all know what good days are. You wake up in the morning early enough to read your Bible and pray. And you come downstairs with a smile on your face and have a lovely conversation with the person you live with and go off to work, and the boss calls you into his office and says, do you know, I've been really impressed with your work lately. I'd like you to apply for this promotion. And not only that, but I'm really impressed with your attitude as well. There's something different about you. And you explain that you're a Christian, and that makes a difference to the way you live. And you come home in the evening and have a really good time with the people you live with, and go to bed really pleased with yourself. In fact, you look in the mirror just before you go to bed and go, do you know, I've just had a really good day. Aren't I a really good person? God must be really pleased with me. And then there's the bad day, when you wake up late and you go outside and it's chucking it down, and you get the umbrella and the umbrella blows up into pieces, and you get to work wet and late, and the boss calls you into the office and says, your work's been quite poor recently. You need to sort yourself out. And you get to the office and start working, and something goes wrong and you swear, and a work colleague overhears you and goes, I didn't realize Christians swore. And you come back home miserable and tired and worn out and shout at the person you live with and go to bed early and cry into your pillow, because you think you're a rubbish person and God doesn't like rubbish people. It's possible to live as a Christian like that. But if you're a Christian, you shouldn't live like that, because you are justified. You are righteous before God. And so your good days don't make you more righteous before God. They don't make your righteousness better. And your bad days don't make your righteousness worse. God is as pleased with you on your bad days as he is on your good days. God accepts you as much on your bad days as on your good days, because you are justified and righteous in his sight. You cannot add to that and you cannot take away from that. And if God declares you to be just, who are you to say otherwise? But finally, you need to remember that you can change. You can change. You know, it's possible to live as a Christian just in despair and to say, I just can't change. I'm an alcoholic. I'm addicted to porn. I'm just an anxious person. I'm just a people pleaser. I can't live differently. I can't change. It feels too hard. And you live in despair. And you live feeling down. But you can change. Because if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what Paul says in verse 9. If you are a Christian, if you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And the Holy Spirit gives life to your spirit. That's the result of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And how powerful is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He's got power over death. If the Holy Spirit has got power over death, the Holy Spirit can get rid of that death that's in you. That dark mass of sin that's in you. He can help you fight that. He can help you overcome that. He can help you change. And he does that by helping you fix your mind on Jesus Christ. Do you see the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit isn't just a substance. He's a person. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point you to Jesus Christ. To show you Jesus Christ. To show you his beauty. To show you his glory. To show you his love for you. To show you that you are so bad, worse than you think, so bad that Jesus Christ had to die for you on a cross. And yet so loved that Jesus Christ wanted to die for you on a cross. And that you are righteous and accepted by him simply by putting your trust in him. That's what the Holy Spirit shows you. He shows you that. He helps you fix your mind on that. And as the Holy Spirit helps you fix your mind on that, it enables you to change. A power is released that transforms your life. So you can say no to ways in which you want to justify yourself, good ways and bad ways. And you can say, if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me on the cross, I want to center my life around him. If there is someone in the universe who loves me that much, who is that beautiful, who is that good, I want my life to be affected by him, and I want to live my life for him. The power that is at work through that message, that gospel, through seeing who Jesus Christ is, can transform your life, whoever you are and whatever you've done. Let me finish with one brief example. Many of us are affected by people pleasing. We live our lives to try and please other people. Try and please our boss. Try and please our family. Try and please our friends. And that affects us. It means we don't say no when sometimes we should. It means we're bothered about how we look and how we come across. Because we want people to say, you're a good person. You're an acceptable person. But you see, if you know what Jesus Christ has done for you, if you know that you are righteous and accepted by God through him, that God, the judge of the universe, declares you as acceptable and good and righteous in his sight, who cares what human nobodies think? Who cares about their opinion when the opinion of the judge of the universe, God himself, says, you are justified before me? If you remember that, then that will transform you. Transform your people pleasing, transform your anxiety, transform everything. Remember that you are justified, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.